Ave Maria. Good evening, everybody. This is Father George Roth on the Life of the Soul. And I was just thinking of a particular appropriate scriptural text for this particular subject that we have, the life of the soul. And it's, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and suffer the loss for his soul? Tonight we have a most marvelous commentary on this whole aspect of salvation by St. Leonard of Portmorris, a great Franciscan of the 18th century, very well known in Italy, up and down the whole Italian area. He gave many, many sermons for many, many years. And his treatise is The Little Number of Those Who Are Saved. The Little Number of Those Who Are Saved. Here's an introduction for St. Leonard. St. Leonard of Portmorris was a most holy Franciscan friar who lived at the monastery of St. Bonaventure in Rome. He was one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the church. He used to preach to thousands in the open square of every city and town where the churches could not hold his listeners. So brilliant and holy was his eloquence that once, when he gave a 2 weeks mission in Rome, the Pope and College of Cardinals came to hear him. The Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and the Veneration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus were his crusades. He was in no small way responsible for the definition of the Immaculate Conception, made a little more than 100 years after his death. He also gave us the divine praises, which are said at the end of benediction. But St. Leonard's most famous work was his devotion to the Stations of the Cross. He died a most holy death in his 75th year, after 24 years of uninterrupted preaching. One of Saint Leonard of Portmorris's most famous sermons was The Little Number of Those Who Are Saved. It was the one he relied on for the conversion of great sinners. This sermon, like his other writings, was submitted to the canonical examination during the process of canonization. In it he reviews the various states of life of Christians and concludes with the little number of those who are saved in relation to the totality of men. The reader who meditates on this remarkable text will grasp the soundness of its argumentation, which has earned it the approbation of the Church. Here is the great missionary's vibrant and moving sermon. The introduction. Now, by the way, I should tell you that from the title, it's a little frightening in a way, because we don't normally think of the little number of those who are saved. But according to most, as you will hear, that is consensus of the scriptures in many other places. So it's a word to the wise that we must all be aware. The ball is in our court, as it were. If we want to be saved, we will be saved. We all must do all the things that we have to, that Jesus told us, to do penance, to save our souls. So this is what this is all about. It's not to make you feel bad, but it's to make you wake up and see that you have to do more. And the way the world is today, with so many people so careless, not even believing in God, not going to church and adoring him and so on, not keeping his commandments. It's no wonder that there'll be so few who are saved. All right, with that in mind, let us now read the text of St. Leonard of Portmorris. Quote, "Thanks be to God, the number of the Redeemer's disciples is not so small that the wickedness of the scribes and Pharisees is able to triumph over them. Although they strove to calumniate innocence and to deceive the crowd with their treacherous sophistries, by discrediting the doctrine and character of our Lord, finding spots even in the Son, many still recognized him as the true Messiah, and unafraid of either chastisement or threats, openly joined his cause. Did all those who followed Christ follow him even unto glory? Oh, this is where I revere the profound mystery and silently adore abysses of divine decrees, rather than rashly deciding on such a great point. The subject I will be treating today is a very grave one. It has caused even the pillars of the church to tremble, filled the greatest saints with terror, and populated the deserts with anchorites. The point of this instruction is to decide whether the number of Christians who are saved is greater or less than the number of Christians who are damned. It will, I hope, produce in you a salutary fear of the judgments of God. Brothers, because of the love I have for you, I wish I were able to reassure you with the prospect of eternal happiness by saying to each of you, you are certain to go to paradise. The greater number of Christians is saved, so you also will be saved. But how can I give you this sweet assurance if you revolt against God's decrees, as though you were your own worst enemies? I observe in God a sincere desire to save you, but I find in you a decided inclination to be damned. So what will I be doing today if I speak clearly? I will be displeasing to you, but if I do not speak, I will be displeasing to God. Therefore, I will divide this subject into two points. In the first one, to fill you with dread, I will let the theologians and fathers of the church decide on the matter and declare that the greater number of Christian adults are damned. And in silent adoration of that terrible mystery, I will keep my own sentiments to myself. In the second point, I will attempt to defend the goodness of God versus the godless by proving to you that those who are damned by their own malice, because they wanted to be damned. So then, here are two very important truths. If the first truth frightens you, do not hold it against me, as though I wanted to make the road of heaven narrower for you. For I want to be neutral in this matter. Rather hold it against the theologians and fathers of the church, who will engrave this truth in your heart by the force of reason. If you are disillusioned by the second truth, give thanks to God over it, for he wants only one thing, that you give your hearts totally to him. Finally, if you oblige me to tell you clearly what I think, I will do so for your consolation. The teaching of the fathers of the church. It is not vain curiosity, but salutary precaution to proclaim from the height of the pulpit certain truths which serve wonderfully to contain the indolence of libertines, who are always talking about the mercy of God and how easy it is to convert, who live plunged in all sorts of sins and are soundly sleeping on the road to hell. To disillusion them and waken them from their torpor, today let us examine this great question. Is the number of Christians who are saved greater than the number of Christians who are damned? Pious souls, you may leave. This sermon is not for you. Its sole purpose is to contain the pride of libertines who cast the holy fear of God out of their heart and join forces with the devil, who, according to the sentiment of Eusebius, damn souls by reassuring them. To resolve this doubt, Let us put the fathers of the church, both Greek and Latin, on one side. On the other side, the most learned theologians and erudite historians. And let us put the Bible in the middle, for all to see. Now listen not to what I will say to you, for I have already told you that I do not want to speak for myself or decide on the matter. But listen to what these great minds have to tell you. They who are beacons in the church of God to give light to others so that they will not miss the road of to heaven. In this manner, guided by the triple light of faith, authority, and reason, we will be able to resolve this grave matter with certainty. Note well that there is no question here of the human race taken as a whole, nor of all Catholics taken without distinction, but only of Catholic adults who have free choice and are thus capable of cooperating in the great matter of their salvation. First, let us consult the theologians, recognized as examining things most carefully and as not exaggerating in their teaching. Let us listen to two learned cardinals, Cajetan and Bellarmine. They teach that the greater number of Christian adults are damned. And if I had the time to point out the reason upon which they base themselves, you would be convinced of it yourselves. But I will limit myself here to quoting Suarez. After consulting all the theologians and making a diligent study of the matter, he wrote, quote, The most common sentiment which is held is that among Christians there are more damned souls than predestined souls. Add the authority of the Greek and Latin fathers to that of the theologians, and you will find that almost all of them say the same thing. This is the sentiment of St. Theodore, St. Basil, St. Ephrem, and St. John Chrysostom. What is more, according to Baronius, it was a common opinion among the Greek fathers that the truth was expressly revealed to St. Simeon Stylites, and after this revelation, it was to secure his salvation that he decided to live standing on top of a pillar for 40 years, exposed to the weather, a model of penance and holiness for everyone. Now let us consult the Latin fathers. You will hear St. Gregory saying clearly, many attain to faith, but few to the heavenly kingdom. St. Anselm declares, there are few who are saved. St. Augustine states even more clearly, therefore few are saved in comparison to those who are damned. The most terrifying, however, is St. Jerome. At the end of his life, in the presence of his disciples, he spoke these dreadful words, out of 100,000 people whose lives have always been bad, you will find barely one who is worthy of indulgence. I think the word there that you must understand, we're talking about people who have always been bad. All right, so that's something to be thinking about. We can pray for the conversion of sinners, but it doesn't always happen. The words of Holy Scripture. But why seek out the opinions of the fathers and theologians when Holy Scripture settles the question so clearly? Look in on the Old and New Testaments, and you will find a multitude of figures, symbols, and words that clearly point out this truth. Very few are saved. In the time of Noah, the entire human race was submerged by the deluge, and only 8 people were saved in the ark. St. Peter says, this ark was the figure of the church, while St. Augustine adds, and these 8 people who were saved signify that very few Christians are saved because there are very few who sincerely renounce the world, and those who renounce it only in words do not belong to the mystery represented by that ark. The Bible also tells us that only 2 Hebrews out of 2 million entered the Promised Land after going out of Egypt, and that only 4 escaped the fire of Sodom and the other burning cities that perished with it. All of this means that the number of the damned who will be cast into fire like straw is far greater than that of the saved, whom the Heavenly Father will one day gather into his barns like precious wheat. I would not finish if I had to point out all the figures by which Holy Scripture confirms this truth. Let us content ourselves with listening to the living oracle of incarnate wisdom. What did our Lord answer the curious man in the Gospel who asked him, "Lord, is it only a few to be saved?" Did he keep silence? Did he answer haltingly? Did he conceal his thoughts for fear of frightening the crowd? No. Questioned by only one, he addresses all of those present